Welcome back to the Home CEO podcast, where we turn everyday challenges into triumphs. And today we're firing up the grill with none other than Gabby Dulkin from What's Gabby Cookin'. Gabby's here to spice up things with her new cookbook, Grilling All the Things, a trailblazing journey into the world of grilling through a woman's lens. Let's be real, her recipes are my favorite. It's one of the very first cookbooks about grilling penned by women, and trust me, it's sizzling with inspiration. Today's episode, though, is packed with flavor and spice. Gabby dishes out her iconic story about slutty brownies, her star-studded path from working with Jessica Simpson to becoming a culinary mogul, and how she balances being a wife and a mom. So grab your spatula. Let's dive into a conversation that's as juicy as the steaks we wish we were grilling right now, and get ready to be inspired, laugh out loud. I really mean laugh out loud. And maybe learn a thing or two about turning up the heat, both in and out of the kitchen. Welcome to the show, Gabby.
Hi, Nicole. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So we're just going to dive in. The Home CEO podcast is the village that we all looked for when we became a parent or a homemaker and we couldn't find. So I'm going to deep dive into everything from your kitchen tips down to real life, how you balance it all. And that's actually where we're going to start. Tell me how Cooking with Gabby came to be, a little bit of your history there, and then we're going to soak up all your knowledge.
If we back like way up 100 billion years ago, because I'm so old at this point in the world of social media, I am a grandma. I went to school for pre-med. I was pre-med in college. I wanted to be a doctor, and I got to OCHEM and I got a C, and I was like, I'm an A student. This isn't for me. And I dropped out of pre-med and I went to business. I switched my major to business and I graduated. And shortly after graduating college, I decided it was a great idea to enroll in culinary school. This was back in 2008. The economy sucked. It was like not fun to get a job. And I was like, I don't want a job yet. Like, I'm not ready. And I went to culinary school. And the same week I started culinary school, I started my blog, What's Gabby Cooking, back then. And I started being a private chef for this family in Malibu. So it was a wild entrance into the food world. And I had never really had any intention of staying in the food world. It was just something I was really passionate about. I loved feeding my family, as did my parents and my sister. I loved feeding my boyfriend at the time, who's now my husband. And I loved bringing people around the table. So I did culinary school just to like learn the basics, basically, so I could feel empowered in the kitchen. And I started What's Gabby Cooking as a way to brag, you know, for lack of a better word, to my friends and my family that I learned how to eat mushrooms and I learned how to make eggplant and things that I had never cooked before, because I came from a very like simplistic eating household, and I never left. Like, I never left the food world. I loved it so much. I went to pastry school afterwards. I stopped private chefing to work as a food stylist assistant for a couple months, and then I went back and I cooked for Jessica Simpson for a number of years. And after I was done with Jess, that's when I really like jumped into What's Gabby Cooking full time. And I was like, I was young, it's like, if I'm gonna make a go of this, let's try it now.
I love it. Okay, slutty brownies, let's talk about that.
It's so funny about the slut. So Jess is hands down to this day one of my favorite people to cook for. She eats very similarly to me. She's from Texas, I'm from Arizona. We like flavor, we like salsa, we like avocados, like Tex-Mex is our love language. And she was pregnant with Max, her oldest daughter at the time. And I had been making slutty brownies for her, and we never talked about why they were called slutty brownies. But this is why Jessica is a genius. She goes on, what was it, Leno? It's one of whatever talk show it was that no longer, the host is retired at this point. She goes on Leno probably, this had to be in like 2012. It was at least 10 years ago. And Lena was like, what are you craving? And she goes into this description of what I'm making her, which are these things called slutty brownies. And for those of you who don't know, slutty brownies is a layer of cookie dough, a layer of Oreos, and a layer of brownies. This recipe has been in existence since like the 40s. Like, housewives made this back when Betty Crocker was invented. But I make it all from scratch, and it's just better than a box mix. And she looks at Leno and she goes, well, and he was like, what makes them slutty? And she looks at him and she goes, I guess it's because a lot of things go into them. And I am like this 21-year-old, 22-year-old girl sitting in front of my TV late at night. My boyfriend's already asleep, screaming. My website crashes. I go to work the next day. And I was like, that was fucking hysterical.
Totally.
And you know what? I credit Jess. Jess taught me what it was to be on brand. She knows her brand. She's so smart. And it was really fun to watch her thrive and build her empire and see that for like she's smart, but like she says things like that because she knows it's hysterical and it'll make people laugh.
And she does. She's full of joy. And those brownies are full of joy. We have to call them slew brownies in my house because my kids are just not quite at that age yet.
Fair.
But when I can explain it to my kids, I'll be like, my kids, I understand it now. We've made it. Okay. If you could describe your cooking style in three emojis, what are they?
Oh my God. Wait, I'm just going to tell you what my most frequently used emojis are because I think that's the best way to do it. The laughing one where he's like crying, laughing, because I think that's just very carefree. And that's how I would say What's Gotta Be Cooking's food is. A lemon, because there's acid in everything. Like, even if it's not lemon, if it's orange or lime or red wine, you just need acid to keep your food delicious. And then a heart, because I really believe that cooking is the best way to show someone how much you care about them.
Absolutely. No. So my grandmother was Southern Louisiana, and she didn't have all of her words to describe how much she loved people. But you could taste it in her cooking.
Yeah.
Right?
It's my favorite. It is my love language.
It is a love language for sure. Can you share a kitchen disaster that turned into something surprisingly delicious? Because I know you have them. You share them when they happen. Makes me feel good about myself.
Well, once I lit Jessica's oven on fire, but that didn't turn into it resulted in nothing delicious. We went out for lunch.
Oh, my gosh.
But, I mean, that was probably the most memorable one because it was like, oh, my God, I just lit my client's oven on fire and her father-in-law had to put it out. But that happened.
That's good enough.
And yeah, I mean, listen, do all my recipes work all the time or my ideas? No, like, but that's okay. That's why I test all my recipes at least 4 times before they go on my website, because someone on the other end of the computer is spending $20, $30, $40, $50, however much money on ingredients, and I need it to work for them. Like, I don't want anyone to be like, you know, this didn't work unless you like substitute flour for almond, like that. Fine. Like, sure, that's not going to work. But like my recipe as written will work.
How have you transitioned from the eating trends? Like, now things are very vegan. We have to watch for gluten free. Like, how do you do that as a creator?
I actually don't subscribe to any of it.
I want this.
I think so. Yeah. Listen, like, I think there are real issues. Like, people have celiac disease. Like, there are people who cannot have dairy. Like, those are all real medical things that people need to look out for. I think majority of the food on What's Gotta Be Cooking is very adaptable. Like, Bob's Red Mill makes an incredible one-to-one gluten-free flour if you need to use that. But I also think we are living in a world where some of those things are very trendy. And TikTok and Instagram has made them more trendy. And I actually think it's a very scary place, because if you go to a restaurant and you're like, I can't have flour, just because you don't want to have flour, that continues to happen. Like, people aren't going to take that seriously. So when someone walks in and they're like, I have celiac and this will like really hurt me, like, it's we're living in a weird world where some of that's a little risky right now.
No, we are. I choked. I found out I had an autoimmune disorder and it like flipped my world because they were like, no dairy, no egg. Now, the world is very sad without cheese. I'm going to let you know that right now. But I now suffer from that. And I had to get socially like accustomed to saying it's an allergy.
Yeah.
This is something that will cause a reaction.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah. Like,
but I have to say that.
That's right. Because there are other people who are just like, I don't eat cheese. And they're just like making it harder for people who have like, I have a friend who has like a severe green bean allergy. Like, she will go into anaphylactic shock basically and have to go to the hospital. And like, nobody takes it seriously. So listen, there are for sure medical issues where that need to be like taken very seriously. But I think the beauty of my food is that it lends itself to adapting really nicely.
Okay, talk to me about motherhood. How has motherhood transformed you in the kitchen, you on your lives? I personally love them more now. I'm just going to throw that out there.
So unhinged.
Maybe unpopular opinion from some of the reviews, but I love them more even now.
I think they're funnier now for sure.
I agree.
I mean, listen, when you don't have kids, you have all the time in the world to cook. I don't know what the fuck I did with my time. Am I allowed to pass? I'm sorry.
Yes.
I don't know what I did with my time before I was a mom. And I thought I was busy. Like, what was wrong with me? Like, I thought I was booked and busy. No, there is nothing like being a mom and having a human who quite literally wants to be physically on you at all times to really like set your priorities straight. So I would say becoming a parent has made me more efficient in every sense of my life, from work to cooking to getting ready, all the things. But specifically in the kitchen, like I look for ways to get lots of flavor and lots of nutrition into the meal as quickly as possible. And
smart.
I already cooked like that to begin with. I never wanted to spend hours and hours and hours in the kitchen, but I will, you know, like I'm not a meal prepper per se, but like if I roast a chicken, I'll use it 2 or 3 times throughout the week. Like I love a shortcut.
Yeah. Make everything efficient. We call them hacks now, which I think are trendy. It's definitely part of my platform.
Yeah.
But my grandma used them. She was I have to feed all these kids, you know, and she was like, let's make this more efficient. I don't have time for it, but let's get the food on the table. Okay, you could cook one meal for a fictional character. Who would it be? And what would you serve?
Wait, fictional is not real or real?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's not. That is so relatable. I don't even know. I think I have to Google it.
Wait, I'm going to Google it too. Is fictional a lot of someone who's real? Fictional.
Oh my gosh, this is so relatable.
No, fictional is not. It's Jon Snow. It's Darth Vader. It's James Bond. It's not real.
James Bond, yeah.
Okay.
Who is it? What are you cooking? I need to know.
What am I cooking or who am I cooking for?
Who are you cooking for and then what are you making them?
I mean, I want to say Tim Riggins from Friday Night Lights. And I'd probably make him like, I don't know, nachos, like I don't know what I'd make him. I've never thought about that, but he was my hall pass for a very long time.
Who is it now?
God, that's a great question. I'm too tired.
I don't need a hall pass.
I don't have a hall pass now. But no, that's a bad answer because I know deep down I have one, and I probably could. I'm like blanking truly, which is embarrassing because there's definitely, I could text Thomas and ask, he definitely would know the answer to this because I would have told him, but like, it'll come to me in our conversation.
How about this? We'll put it in the show notes if it doesn't come to you. No big deal. Cause we need to know the answer to the hall pass now. What's the strangest food combination you've tried and now that you swear by?
Poppy dipped in avocado and peanut butter. It wasn't bad. It was a little like Thai peanutty salad situation. And I was like, she made all of us try it. Matt and Adam, my best friends, were here and we all had a little bit of avocado dipped in peanut butter. And I was like, not terrible. And then I made a peanut noodle sauce with avocados the next day. So like, she inspired it.
I love that. I love that it's so real, right? And your kid inspires things. Mine do it all the time. They dip something in something and I'm like, oh. Try it. It's so good.
It's so funny. And we tell them that all the time. Like, we say, try it. Have a no thank you helping. So, like, I guess I had to take my own medicine and just listen.
Yeah, that's so true. Hey there, home CEOs. Tired of playing guess the origin with your meat at the grocery store? Well, I was too. You know, where you squint at the labels and hope the meat's travel history isn't more exotic than yours? I want to introduce you to Good Ranchers. This one, I've done the homework so you don't have to. They are born and bred right here in the USA. And their meat is as local as your favorite coffee shop. So since 2018, they've been bringing families back to the dinner table, where all great change in America starts. With Good Ranchers, you're not just ordering the finest cuts of USDA prime beef, chicken, and wild-caught seafood. You're also giving the boot to the mystery meat imports and supporting American farms. Subscribe today and save $25 on every order. That's right. Keep your wallet and your belly full with Good Ranchers American meat delivered, because good food is where the home is. Good Ranchers is the official sponsor and freezer staple for the home CEO and Nicole Jakes. Now, let's get back to the show. Okay, one kitchen gadget you can't live without.
It's my $40 garlic press. Adam bought it for me for Christmas a couple years ago. It's heavy duty and it makes the best. Like if you need to do a lot of garlic, which you know I cook with an obscene amount of garlic, I like to do it fast, and that thing is heavy duty, and you throw it in the dishwasher and it's done.
I have it myself. It's perfect. It's got it off your link. Totally overrated kitchen gadget.
Oh, there's so many.
Give me three. Give me your top three.
I don't like that top thing three. That you like put an onion in and chop it down to chop your onion.
Neither.
It's dumb. I don't like the apple corer. Doesn't work. Like, it's not efficient. It's faster for you to just slice off all four cheeks of an apple and then slice it.
Mm-mm.
And I want to say an air fryer, but I think I'll get canceled.
I don't think you can say that.
I don't think we can say that.
I don't think we can say it. There's a cult following.
I just wrote an incredible air fryer recipe. They just take up a lot of space and they're ugly. Like, everyone's tried to make them cute. They're not cute. It's an oven on your counter and it's ugly.
It is true. Mine has its own cabinet, though. I built it when I remodeled my house.
That's smart. That's very smart. I don't have the cabinet for mine. Mine just...
It's a hidden.
Thomas hates it.
But it's kind of like my KitchenAid mixer. I didn't want that out on my cabinet either. And so now it has its own little device that I can like pull and it shifts it up and it pulls it back down. It has its own storage.
That's very cool.
We need this. Thomas, let's make this happen.
Yeah. Can we redo our house, babe? Are you listening?
Yeah, anytime now, please. Best cooking advice you've ever received?
I mean, it's probably from my culinary school teacher, and it's that everything needs acid and salt. Like mushrooms, for example, are not that delicious unless they are roasted or sauteed and salted with a hit of lemon juice or a hit of red wine vinegar. Those two things to finish make every bit of difference in the world.
They do. So I was recently in the Bahamas and I was with Food My Muse, Nadia, and we ordered crickets with the guacamole. Like, they came with the guac.
Yeah.
And I was like, there's no way I'm eating that. She's like, they're good, but let me just put some acid and salt on it.
Yeah.
She put acid on salt on everything. And I was like, yeah. You and Gabby could get along real well.
She lives in Tucson, which is where I grew up.
She does. I'm waiting for a collab. You two would crush. She makes a mean margarita.
Does she?
Mean margarita.
I'm available.
I know. We got to hook that up. Talk to me about how motherhood has shifted just your viewpoint on running your home. Because you have we have this whole, you're a CEO and a mom and a home CEO.
Yeah. Like,
how has motherhood shifted your thoughts on how you run your house?
I actually think it's made me so much smarter. And it's, you know, it's actually really funny. I like hem and hawed over where to send Poppy to school. I applied to like four different preschools. I put a deposit down at all of them because I just like didn't know what I wanted to do. And it wasn't until her current teacher pulled me aside and she's like, hey, girl, like I heard you're on these other wait lists over here, too. Like, you're an idiot. And I was like, oh my God, she's like, this is the best place for your child. I can guarantee it. She will thrive. I've watched her now in these parent and me classes. And I was like, wow, thank you for saying that. And it made me realize the only thing I ever am indecisive about is her. I will make a decision on anything else. But like, if it's Poppy, I'm like, oh my God, I'm shaping this child's future. Like, I have to really think through these decisions because I'm a gut girl. Like, I will make a decision and it's done. If I don't love working with someone, we won't work together anymore. It's over. If I don't love how an email exchange is going, I'm not going to work with that brand because this feels like it's going to be too complicated and you're not listening to what I can provide for you and what I know my audience wants. And if we can't find a happy medium, it's never going to work. So like, I make decisions quickly, and being a mom has made me think through decisions as far as Poppy goes, because I think they're probably like, I don't want her in therapy when she's 16 years old. I mean, sure, maybe, but like, maybe not like trauma therapy.
Yeah, there's no trauma at your house. Oh my gosh, this kid's already the sweetest.
Well, listen, I cut the peanut butter sandwich wrong the other day, so there is trauma.
I know my kid like, once reached into the oven yesterday and pulled out something, or little Mitch got a little burned, and I was like, these things are going to happen. Don't be afraid of the oven. Look at all the meals it's made you. You know, there's like that, and I think about it like, oh my gosh, now she's never going to cook. She's just going to eat Chick-fil-A the rest of her life, like her dad, and what am I going to do? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know.
It's all going to be okay.
It's going to be fine. It makes him stronger.
It does. Talk to me about a pivot in life. You had to pivot some time in life.
A pivot in life. God, that's a great question. I think my biggest pivot to date probably happened a couple years ago. I had had Poppy and I was like, I needed to like reorganize my business. And I had let my managers go. and I walked away from a very big licensing deal because none of it was feeling right anymore. And I took 6 months to like get everything together and relaunch my own product line under my own label, Dalkin & Co. I brought on a team that I thought they're thinking bigger picture about what's gotta be cooking like I am. They're not just, churning out contracts left and right. So that was a big pivot for me and how I function as a business owner.
Absolutely. How about a personal pivot?
I think, is a friend divorce a personal pivot?
Yeah, absolutely.
I've had two friendship divorces in the last 10 years because they were no longer serving me. And those were really hard to deal with, but I'm very happy with my decision. And I think my life is lighter because I don't have those two energies in it. But that was a big pivot for me to learn how to walk away from that and to learn that I don't have time anymore now that I'm a mom to serve those kinds of relationships that aren't really serving me.
Absolutely. I agree. I think I recently just went through one where I was like, don't make small talk with me when you owe me an apology.
Yeah, no, absolutely not.
You know what I mean? And the more that we clear out space for the good, the more opportunities show up.
For sure.
When we hold on to the negative, it just spirals us into it. We can't get out and opportunities start showing.
Yeah, and I also think it's not, if you're leaving a situation and you're not feeling fulfilled and happy and energized, why are you continuing to put yourself in that situation? And I was. So that was a big moment for me to walk away from those things.
That's so true. Okay. Talk to me about one ingredient you dislike and now you love. Like one in the whole history of things. Like I personally used to hate butter. I know. Oh. Don't come at me. There was something about it. I always felt like it was oily. I don't think I was using the right one. I think I needed a better ingredient. Butter never enhanced anything except pastries for me. And I was like, please don't put it on my salmon. Let's just go olive oil. Like I was really into oils,
Yeah. Yeah.
So butter was one that I had to kind of like figure out grass fed and I had to find a better brand and all of that. Tell me why.
And now you like butter. I love butter.
I mean, butter is essential. It's something that's needed, right? It's that fat.
Yeah, you got to have it for certain things. But like I also love an incredible olive oil. I'm not mad at that. I hated peanut butter until 3 years ago. Yeah. I hated it. I hated everything peanut butter. I liked a peanut noodle sauce, but if you gave me a peanut butter dessert, absolutely no. I just wanted chocolate. I need my tongue to get to the chocolate, and any peanut in between that was upsetting. But after making peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and licking my fingers for Poppy for the last 3 years, I've come around.
Thank you, Poppy. Thank you, Poppy.
But it was a dark time. It was a dark time when I didn't like peanut butter. It was very upsetting.
That was a dark time. I'm feeling dark for you over that, but I'm glad you're back in the swing of it. I like will scoop peanut butter out, lick the jar, like
now,
get me started.
Now I'm there and I love almond butter. Like I love a nut butter and there's some that have like yummy like bun mix-ins. I'm all about it. But, I spent 30 years not eating it, which is really quite a shame. I also never had, when I say I came from a picky eating family, I never had steak till I was in college. Fish, forget about it. That was culinary school. Sushi, I was 25. Like I was picky.
Dang.
I know.
What broke that?
My culinary school teacher told me I'd never make it if I didn't expand my horizons. And I was like, that is a personal challenge and I see you and I will accept it.
How do you describe your personality? Like, if I didn't know you, you were just standing there. Describe yourself in, like, an elevator pitch.
I think I used to describe myself differently, but now I think I'm pretty unhinged. I think I'm very sunny and carefree. I'm really, matter of fact, I'm not going to beat around the bush. If I have something to say, I will say it. But I have slowly become less hinged as the years go. And I really don't care what people think of me anymore. There's just not time. I don't want to dwell on it. I love my friends, my family, and, my life. And I don't have time for judging,
No, none. Between you and Thomas, who does more household work?
You know what? Have you heard of this deck of cards that's like all the rage?
Right? Oh, no.
I bought it after one of my friends told me about it. We are dead even.
Thomas, okay, so my husband and me too.
It's wild. I thought it was so I was pissed. I was pissed because I wanted it to be on. I was like, I do all this. And I'm like, I don't check the mail. I don't take out the trash. I don't do, like, Thomas, that's.
Okay, so we're in, it's called the Fair Play Deck for all of you listening.
Yeah.
Okay, and it is a game changer for marriage because we did the split deck and I was like, no way. I was the same way.
I know.
It's crazy.
I know. It's
okay, nuts. So it's even. What's the one chore you hate? You could just hire someone to do it or have it be done with a robot. What would it be?
Folding laundry.
Ah, me too.
Hate it. I don't mind doing the laundry. Folding. Yeah. I've started to just hang everything because I don't want to fold.
That's actually a really good idea. I do buckets and I've now employed my children.
Smart.
You're almost there with Poppy.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Well, she has all of her things too.
That's actually adorable. Good for her. The backstory of your most popular recipe and why do you think it resonated with so many people?
My most popular recipe was slutty brownies, but we already touched on that. So I feel like we'll save that. My second most popular recipe is a DIY Chipotle burrito bowl. And I think it resonates with people because we all, like, Chipotle was a core memory for me in college. Like, I went with many people for, like, dates or, like, you know, like, I'd go with a handful, whatever, different athletes. We'd go and we eat this amazing bowl that was only $8 at the time. Now it's, like, $27 probably. And it's very flavorful. And being able to make that at home, I feel like, is empowering and brings back, it's a little nostalgic. So that's probably the story behind that.
I love that. Can you tell me about someone you admire and why?
I admire a lot of people. One of the people I admire the most, her name is Janet Hayes. She's the CEO at Crate & Barrel, and we've known each other for many years. She is a shining example of someone who highlights those around her. Like, she is the ultimate team player, and she empowers everyone around her to do their jobs and be the best they can be and gives them the tools to do that. So I think she's an incredible role model and she's just a boss. I hate the term girl boss because I think it's overused so much, but like she is the ultimate. And I love how she carries herself in any room. Like you could be in the room with the most bajillionaire people of all times and nothing about her would be shaken or changed. Like she's just so, she's unshakable.
That's awesome. What does a woman's woman look like to you?
Someone who, I was just talking about this with one of my girlfriends this morning, someone
really?
Who is singing your praises when you're not around in a room full of people that can really, you know, do something. So I think that is the epitome of a woman's woman or a girl's girl. You know, they're always looking out for their friends and, you know, taking the time to check in on them and making sure they're okay. Like, we're all leading very busy lives, but, like, it's important to check in with your girlfriends and, you know, be a good friend.
I agree. Talk to me about how busy you are and how you manage the busyness. Is there, like, a core practice you go to? Is there something you do each day that just kind of grounds you? Because our lives are fast and furious, especially yours right now with the book launch.
Fast and furious. No,
what is
no, I am. I think balance. I would love to tell everyone I have about I have a balanced life. I built my business where I, you know, can stop working at 5 o'clock every day and hang out with Poppy and make dinner together. And I don't really work once she goes to bed anymore. But no, like, I think my efficiency levels have just gotten so high. I'm really, really productive when I need to be. And when it's time to stop, I'm not. But like, I don't think I am the epitome of balance. Do you know what I mean? Does that make sense?
No, totally. I don't think anyone's balanced. You know, I ask it almost as like the trick question. It's like, there's no balance. I have a ritual I go to every morning. It's 5 minutes. And I just make sure I do it once a day. And I feel like I'm committing to myself. So it raises my vibration because I've committed to that 5 minute practice. But that's as good as it's going to get for me.
You know what I mean? My practice is watching Shogun every night.
I love it.
which is upside real because it's over now. But like, that is it's an hour that I can't be on my phone and I have to be paying attention because it's a different language and it's so zen-like to me. I love it.
I love that. Good. That's a good challenge for your brain, too. The most unexpected feedback you've been given.
Oh, that people hate my end lives.
Oh, gosh, I love them.
It's very, listen, I would say one in every 250 DMs is negative. I am blessed to not get it, but that one always stings. And there have been a few people in the last couple years that are like, if you get a nanny for Poppy, if you're going to do Insta Live. And I'm like, no, girl, like, this is my life and Poppy's a part of it. And if she's going to sing Frozen in the background, she's going to sing Frozen and you're going to listen if you want this recipe for free. So that's the most shocking thing that people tell me sometimes. And, you know, they always end up unfollowing because I respond to them and I put them on blast. And I'm very confrontational in my old age.
I don't think it's confrontational. I think it's owning your boundary. I think it's a healthy boundary you're setting because your community, you are well loved and admired. And so I think it's just setting healthy boundaries. And we have to do that as creators. We have to do that, period, in life, you know?
For sure. I think it's incredibly healthy to be able to speak those boundaries too. And I think I've been very vocal about them over the last couple of years.
I know that. And you and your smoothie with no top on it driving.
Oh,
down
yeah.
The freeway.
See, but like unhinged. Like I'm getting it. Like I'm worried about what I'll be when I'm like 50 because things like I'm going to be that woman at the retirement community that everyone's like, watch out for her. She's fucking that job.
Oh, my gosh. I love it. I can't wait. I hope I'm part of that community. I'm just going to
be so fun. Wait. So we just moved my grandma into a retirement home and I brought it up to Matt. And Matt's older than me. Matt's probably 55. And he was like, I can't wait till I get to move to Leisure World. And I was like, the F is Leisure World. He has got his retirement plan so dialed in. And I was like, that's so cool that you're like, I'm going to move to this community and have a group of friends at Zumba together and take bird watching classes. And I was like, cool. Like, good for you, dude, that you know what you're going to do when you're that old.
I'm doing it too, but I think I'm building a community and then we're just going to have help come in.
I think
a cul-de-sac.
That save me some real estate. I want to be there.
Done. We're in.
It's but is it in
on garden?
Are we in Seattle?
How do you want? Where do you want to be? We can be anywhere.
It's pretty sunny.
I was going to say, so I'm a Cali girl. I grew up in Sonoma.
So let's go to Sonoma. Let's go back to your roots.
Let's go to Sonoma.
Yeah.
We're talking. We'll Dulcan Winery. Yeah, Dulcan Winery, I see it happening. Okay, we do truth or dare on this because as a Hum CEO, any CEO, you have to always pivot. But I love truth or dare. Like if we go on a girl trip, it's like, okay, truth or dare. People are like, seriously? I'm like, yes.
Yeah, this is
so when the fun comes out.
Dare is the only acceptable answer, but I also must know what the truth question would be.
How do you handle disappointment? Is the truth question.
I call my mom.
Oh, God.
I call my mom and she usually walks me through it. My mom is my unpaid therapist. She should have been a therapist. She's so good at it. But I call her. We talk at too much. We talk 17 times a day. She's like, "Why? What do you want now?" But I'm very lucky that I have such an incredible relationship with her that I can lean on her when things don't go my way.
That touched my heart because that's so true. And we're just about to get, there is a pod episode with just me and my mom and we talk about the mom-daughter relationship. And it is, grab your tissues. Because my mom's my best friend.
Same. We're so lucky. You know this, but that's not normal.
I do.
I had my mom on my podcast when I had one back during COVID, and it was my favorite episode I've ever done to date.
I have a feeling this one and my mom's will be my favorite. I just adore you. Okay. Your dare is you're going to create a spontaneous dish, like on the spot, but you
like
only have...
Kitchen?
I mean, if you want to go down to your kitchen, but I think we're on time limit today. How about I send you a dare and you post it to stories too? But you only have three ingredients.
Okay, tell me.
And you have to make a dish. No,
I pick
you
that.
Get to choose.
Oh,
you get to choose. So you have three ingredients and you have to make a dish.
Give
they have
me
to
one
be in your kitchen.
Give me a weird ingredient. I'll pick the other two around it.
Banana.
Okay.
Wait, that didn't faze you. Let's change it. You were like, okay, banana, no problem. Like, okay, kumquat. How about that? Like,
kumquat?
I could go, yeah.
Love it. I mean, I have all this beautiful butter lettuce in my fridge, and normally I do like this citrus vinaigrette, but if you did a half kumquat, half lime garlicky vinaigrette with some avocado and some butter lettuce and maybe some shaved parmesan, That would be delightful.
I'm going to go make it and then post it to the store.
Do you have a kumquat tree?
I do, and I also buy them every... So I've been actually steeping them and putting them into a tea, and I swear it's, like, cleared my skin and helped my hormones and all that jazz.
Whoa.
Kumquats are really good for you if you steep them.
I didn't know that. That's fascinating. I also just think they're adorable. Like, they're so cute.
They're so cute. I know. And they're great garnish, I have to admit. Most people are like, what is that? I'm like, well, that's a... Will you try it?
Have you ever sliced them really thin and then dehydrated them into little dehydrated kumquats for, like, cute little... cocktail garnishes?
Snacking? Oh,
no.
Cocktail garnishes.
Yeah.
Smart.
Throw them in your tea, throw them in your water, throw them in your cocktails. Like a kumquat margarita. Delightful.
Dang. Okay, we're making all of this. I'm going to bring it. I'm going to make some reels. Let's make some reels. Yeah, the other one was let's see your skills in action. So whip up a dish and bring it on over. But we're on a time crunch.
Well, when I'm in Seattle, maybe we can make that happen because we'll be there in a month.
I do rent a kitchen, and we can cook it up if you'd like.
What do you mean? I'll just bring you something delightful to our signing, and maybe we can
come
there. I don't know if there's a kitchen.
You can cook anyone. There's a few. I'll take a look around the scene. You're also always welcome at my home. We live in
a nice
mid-century home with very colorful tiles.
I love it.
Cali meets Pacific Northwest. Gabi, is there anything else you want everybody to know or any words you'd like to share that are from your heart?
I do actually. I feel like this is a really fun fact because I just talked about this with my publisher in the Wall Street Journal. Did you know last year that there were 120 grilling books written and none of them were written by a woman? Not one. So I feel like this is the summer of women taking over the grill. And listen, men do the grilling because it's therapeutic to be outside and cook. And I think we deserve that as women. So I think this is a grill girl summer. And I think we need to lean into that, which is really why I wrote the book.
The reel, have you seen it? Like, boys can do it.
Yes. Yes. I almost made a video about that the other day.
No, you need to go do
it.
Who cares if it's off trend? I need to see that on your Reels page because that is exactly what this book is. In fact, there are a lot of things you've taught me that I'm like, oh, my husband handles that. I can handle that too.
Yeah.
And most of those come from your Insta Live. So let's stop on the Insta Live.
Thank you.
Come on. Okay, Gabi, it's been such a pleasure having you. Where can we find you? Where can we find this new book? It is a staple. So I do like wedding packages. I have so many weddings this year, even in my
30s. What do you mean? You get the same thing for everyone, then you're done all year?
I do the best cookbooks that have made the most impact on my life. And I put them all together in a bundle of 10. And that is my wedding gift.
That's the best.
Typically almost every wedding.
That's the best wedding gift I've ever heard of. I'm going to redo all of it. Yeah, because it's so thoughtful. Like, what are you going to do with more glassware? Like, this is actually useful.
No, and like my favorite recipes, I have them tabbed for them already. And I do a little writing of like what that dish meant to me and the memory of making it.
I'm feeling this. This is a brilliant idea. Well, the cookbook's available everywhere. Cookbooks are sold. You can get it at your small independent booksellers. They're at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, you name it. I'm on social media at What's Gabi Cooking. You know, just living out loud.
It is. It's the best. And if you guys have not tuned in, tune in on social. You're one of my favorite to follow. I always feel like I gleam a little bit of humor, a good laugh, an ab workout, as I call it. The closest thing to an ab workout I'm doing is giggling with you on Instagram. So thank you so much for being here. It's been such a pleasure to connect.
Thank you, Nicole. See you in Seattle.
I can't wait. Let's go. Thank you for tuning in to today's episode, Home CEOs. We hope you enjoyed our chat as much as we did and found some nuggets of wisdom, or at least a good chuckle or a good cry. Remember to hit subscribe on your favorite podcast platform so you don't miss out on our next episode, which I promise brings more laughs, tips, tricks, and a sense of community with lots of enlightening moments. That's what we're here to do. This is the village you've been looking for. Until next time, keep smiling and stay curious. Shine your light wherever you go on those that are dim. They need it the most. Do something kind for somebody else and put a smile on their face. And move your body for someone who can't. In gratitude, you can. You are worthy. You are abundant. You deserve it. And you keep rocking your home like a biz. Cheers to more success, less stress, and less mess. I'll see you next time on The Home CEO.